First reading from Psalm 33. We have just sung it, but we read it also. Psalm 33. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in the green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise be to God. Second reading, and it's taken from the Gospel according to John. Chapter 10 is a long reading from 1 to verse 30. Okay. John Gospel, chapter 10, from 1 to verse 30. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, he is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speaks for me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Praise be to God.
I can share with you the things that God has opened up to me from that passage this morning. But before we do that, I have to confess that I thought Sunday school was still running, and so I'm very glad that I had some sheets still here, but I haven't got any pencils. Does anybody know where there might be some pencils handy? Someone might be able to get them, and maybe some clipboards for children to press on as they do their sheets. That would be a great help. And while Lyle's getting hold of that, I can click myself together. And maybe you could greet one another and say hello this morning and just feel another word that doesn't end with T, it ends with P. Not sheets, but sheeps. I want you to be thinking about sheeps this morning. I love sheep. I've grown to love them more and more as I observe them in various settings. So this morning I've got a lot of photographs to show you of sheep. So we're going to look at a few photographs of sheep because the Bible tells us that we are like sheep. So let's have a look at a few sheep here. There's a few sheep. You can see their white faces all looking up because I've arrived with my camera, and suddenly the sheep are looking. Ooh, who is this? Even though he's a long way away, they're all, even the ones way over there can see right over in the distance. Sheep are incredibly skittish. You know, if someone comes a bit threatening, they get very, very anxious, very, very troubled. But otherwise, you know, when nothing like that's happening, they're quite peaceful creatures, and they just go on eating their food. I think there's a few other shots here of sheep just eating away. These ones couldn't see me because I was behind them, so they weren't frightened. Wolves know all about that. That's how you get the sheep. You come up from behind them when they're not looking. Well, there's a fine merino who's been shorn just recently. You can tell that. But doesn't he look ordinary? And we can often feel like we look very ordinary, don't we? Yes, well, I think he's feeling like he'd like his merino fleece back on. And there's a few others in a wheat field who are also a bit startled by this camera mad sheep shooting pastor. And then there's some who have just got their heads down and they can't see anything, really. They're just going on eating, which is also a bit like us. We can just go on eating, can't we? And ignore these ones are actually got heads right down. And they're eating, and just around them, right next to them, is this. That is actually over that field. Of course, the camera had to subdue the light because of the magnificent sunset that was happening. The sheep were completely ignoring this magnificent scene that was taking place. And I have to say, we are just like sheep, you know. We've got our heads down. We've got our heads on, you know, down on the ground, looking at the muzzly bits of dirt that are there. And there's a heaven there, magnificent and glorious, and we don't even see it. Aren't we just like sheep? You know, if you study sheep carefully, you'll find that we are incredibly like sheep. Well, these are some sheep that I took overseas, and sheep are beautiful creatures. have a look at these mothers and their lambs. You know, look at that mum and his lamb in the foreground there. And you can see through the field, the mums and lambs caring. They have a great care. And there's another shot just not far away. This is a mum who was very startled by this sheep mad photographer who took her sheep down by the creek, and then she nestled them and she was watching me. You can see, can't you see? See that eye just got her eye right on me. You know, if I was going to make a move, she was going to look after those little lambs of hers. And that's like us with our children. We're so caring of them. We love them. There's a mum and a baby lamb who's got a bit frightened by the photographer and suddenly gone straight for protection and security. And we're like that too. And sheep are very, very helpful creatures to study. Don't you like those two little lambs? Aren't they beautiful? Cuddly, you know. I think people say, oh, I wouldn't mind having one of those at home. Well, you've got one, because we are sheep. Every one of us, the Bible says, is like a sheep. Let's have a look at a few others. Now, I love my praying sheep. Now, this one was in Wales, got down on its knees because it really felt, well, you know, I think I need to bow down. I need to bow down and worship and get on my knees. Aren't they amazing sheep? If you study, and this is only a few photographs, if you take a long time to study sheep, you will be amazed at how sheep reflect us as human beings. I want to tell you a story, or this is some sheep in India. This is one when Alex was driving with us and a hired driver. No, sorry, you'd left us with a hired driver to drive. No, you came to Dehradun? You came up to Dehradun, that's right. And this is a shepherd with his sheep by the road. And sheep have an incredible group mentality. They love to be together. We love to be together too. We don't like to be separate. Well, there's an incredible story, which you can look up on the internet, you can check it out and see that it is actually true, of sheep in 2005 in Turkey. 2005 in Turkey, this is an incredible story. One sheep decided to jump over the cliff. One sheep jumped over a cliff and 1,500 others followed it. Jumped over this cliff. 450 of them died, but the other ones landed on top of some softer material because there were 450 dead sheep there. You know, sheep will follow one another in the most bizarre ways, and I have to say, that's you and me, folks. There's some Turkish farmers feeling very distressed. Let me read you the story. Istanbul, Turkey, 2005. First, one sheep jumped to its death. Then, stunned Turkish shepherds who had left their herd to graze while they had breakfast watched as nearly 1,500 others followed, each leaping off the same cliff. Turkish media reported, in the end, 450 dead animals lay on top of one another in a billowy white pile. The Aksam newspaper said those who jumped later were saved as the pile got higher and the fall more cushioned. Aksam reported, there's nothing we can do. They're all wasted. Nevat Mayhem, a member of one of the 26 families whose sheep were grazing together in the herd, was quoted as saying by Aksam, the estimated loss to families in the towns of Givas, located in Van province in eastern Turkey, tops $100,000, a significant amount of money in the country where the average GDP per head is $2,700. Every family had an average of 20 sheep. Aksam quoted another villager, Abdullah Hazar, as saying, but now only a few families have sheep left. It's going to be hard for us. Well, I picked up a writer who took on this story and shared this. Consider for a moment how Germany in 1928 went from being a very solid nation morally and ethically to exterminating people by 1944. That's 16 years. I don't believe for a minute that they got up one day and decided to give power to one of the most atrocious dictators in history, knowing that he would lead the nation to kill 6 million people with their full or least passive support. No, Germany was in a difficult place. They were in the middle of a Great Depression, and Hitler came with a promise of hope and a future. The German people needed hope, and they needed it desperately. And so little by little, groupthink began. It was slow at first, with small changes and shifts in the way people thought and the way they were required to live. And the economy was getting better, so the people overlooked the changes. Their leader and their peers all told them it was fine, and that everything was going to be okay, but it was not. 6 million people were brutally murdered. I would assume that when the 1,500 sheep who saw the first sheep jump off the cliff, they were somehow startled or believed it was the right thing to do, and they all jumped to their deaths. This is so sad, and yet history is replete with examples of humans doing the same thing. Why have I shared this story? Because we are so prone to be influenced by people around us, what they're doing, because we are like sheep. And the Bible tells us that we need a shepherd. In fact, you and I will do the very things that those Turkish sheep did unless we have the shepherd. It's actually inevitable. We will actually do these things if we don't have this shepherd to give us a different direction, to show us what he would have us to do, and not just follow each other. Well, I want to talk about that this morning, so let's pray as we come to God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God that you gave us to teach us and to instruct us and to save us. And we thank you that the word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And Jesus, you are that word. And we come to you this morning asking that you will uncover to us the truths of your word, that we might find peace and rest for our souls. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, but I feel harassed. Many times I feel harassed. I feel greatly troubled by things that are happening around me. I feel sometimes, if you're in South Sudan, I'm sure, you know, Nyal there in Malakal, you would have been feeling harassed. You would have been feeling fearful, anxious. Thank God you have a shepherd, eh? There are many things in this world that cause us to feel under pressure, to feel anxious, to feel unsettled. And God knows that. Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation. So don't be surprised if this happens to you. In this world, you're going to face these things. You know, there have been a couple of very significant events that have happened in the last week. Tim Weatherhead died on Thursday. Now, we had joined with others to fast and pray for him, that he would be healed. But God chose not to heal him here. God chose not to heal him here. But he's healed all right. He's absolutely free. He will have no tribulation ever again. He will never be harassed. His shepherd has taken him home. He's in glory with the King. Now, yes, his wife will suffer the grief of this, and she'll be taken through some deep things, but she will be a great comfort to others. She'll be used of God to comfort other people. As we pray for her, as the paraclete we sang about early in the service comes alongside to comfort her, he will give her things to share that will be a great blessing to others who go through tribulation. In this world, you will have tribulation. I recall the very day that my grandfather was dying. My grandfather prayed for me every day of my life. Every day I was alive, while he was alive, he prayed for me. And I was way lost somewhere out there in the a lost sheep. But his prayers and the prayers of others brought me to know Jesus. And here I am proclaiming him to you. I'm sure he's in glory thinking, hallelujah. I remember the day he was dying. I was in the garage here in Clayton. He'd heard me preach here. Hallelujah. What a joy it must have been to him to see his grandson proclaiming Jesus. I was in the garage and the Lord spoke to me, said, Michael, you need to go to the hospital. You need to go and take John 10 to your grandfather. So I went to Boxall Hospital and I read to him these words, my sheep, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Well, I hope my grandsons come to me when I'm dying and read that to me too. You know, last year we went to England and Wales, where my grandparents came from, and the first service we went to in an Anglican church near Roxton, do you know what the reading was? John 10, verse 27. This is such an important verse. It is so important in the Christian life. This verse about Jesus and his relationship with us sums up everything we need to know. He says this, my sheep, do you see yourself as a sheep? You know, to actually acknowledge that you're a sheep is a humbling thing to do.
Are you like those sheep in those pictures? Is that you? Would you just jump off the cliff after the other sheep? Are you acknowledging that you really are a sheep?
And my friend here, you know, the greatest hindrance to a relationship with God is pride. The greatest hindrance of a relationship with God is pride. The Bible says God wars against the proud, but he gives grace, undeserved favor. He gives things that we don't deserve to the humble. So if you are willing to say, yes, Lord, I'm a sheep. I'm a sheep. I'm anxious. I get troubled. I get easily perturbed. I get fearful. I make mistakes. I go after other sheep. I get lost. If that's you, well, you're on the right road because you're acknowledging the truth about yourself as God says it. Let me read to you a few verses from Scripture. The Bible is absolutely packed with references that we are sheep. Psalm 44, nay, for thy sake we are slain all the day long and accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Or Psalm 74, O God, why dost thou cast us off forever? Why does thy anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? or Psalm 78. Then he led forth his people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. Or Psalm 95, which we read this morning. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. We are the sheep. Or Psalm 100, know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Or Psalm 119, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Or Mark chapter 6, as Jesus went ashore, he saw a great throng and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Mark 14, Jesus said to them, you will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Or Luke 15, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he's lost one of them, but does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one who is lost? Isn't that lovely, that child this morning that knew that truth about Jesus? He goes out after the lost sheep. And of course, when Jesus appears to Peter after his resurrection, what does he say to him? Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? He said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. This morning, are you willing to acknowledge that you're a sheep? That you are in great need? That you will go astray? You'll get lost? Unless you have a shepherd, you will just be all over the place. Hebrews 13 says, now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good. Well, we're here this morning to remember the eternal covenant of God, who has made lost sheep his own and brought them to the shepherd. For Peter says, and as he writes in 1 Peter 2, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls. Well, have you returned to the shepherd? Are you returning to the shepherd? Are you recognizing the need of the shepherd in your life? Jesus wants to be your shepherd. He wants you to be one of his sheep in his flock. Psalm 23 is a really interesting psalm. As I was away, I began to reflect on this psalm, and I saw something that I'd never seen as clearly before. Let's just look at Psalm 23 for a moment. This is David writing the psalm. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So he's saying that the Lord, God, is his shepherd. He's in the flock of God. He's looking to God, his shepherd. And as he looks to God, his shepherd, he won't have to want anything. The shepherd will take care of everything. Are you anxious about something? Maybe it's your finances. How are they going? I wouldn't be surprised if they're tested. God is testing these things. What are you relying on? Are you anxious about family? About your personal circumstances? You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, come to me, all of you who are weary, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He wants to give you rest. Jesus, the shepherd, wants to give you rest. Look at Psalm 23. The first thing this shepherd causes his sheep to do, what is it? He makes me... What was that? Are you lying down? It is a hard thing to do, to lie down. When you lie down, you've got to stop. And most of us don't like to do that. We want to keep doing. We want to keep active. You know, if there's a problem, we need to learn, how can I fix it? Jesus the shepherd, the very first thing he calls his sheep to do is to lie down. Not to do things, but to lie down. And this is so important in knowing the shepherd. You can't know the shepherd. You see, in the passage that we have from John 10:27, it says, my sheep listen to my voice. And then it says, I know them. So you've got to lie down and listen first. And as you lie down and listen first, and listen to Jesus and what he's got to say, you'll start to share some things with him. Do you remember the woman at the well? She went there feeling ashamed of her life. What a joy, Sarah Cave, it was to be with you on Friday. Hallelujah. Sarah talked about shame in our lives and how we can carry this baggage of shame, and the girls that she's working with in Thailand, you know, carry a baggage of shame because they've been in prostitution, they've been sold into slavery, they feel dirty, they feel unclean. And we can feel shame over things that have happened in our lives. And when this woman at the well came to the well, she was doing it at midday in the middle of heat. It was like Alice Springs, 38 degrees probably there by the well. It was really hot and nobody else was coming to the well because she didn't want to be around anybody else. She was feeling shameful of having five husbands, and the one she was with now wasn't even her husband. She just couldn't maintain a relationship. She'd failed so badly. And there she was at the well, and there was the shepherd there saying to her, would you give me a drink? And she actually listened to him. This Samaritan woman listened to this Jewish man. She actually could have run away and said, I've got nothing to do with Jewish men. But she listened. And she began to open up to him. How can you ask for a drink from me? You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. You're a man, I'm a woman. How could you possibly even think that having a conversation with me is something that is feasible? Now, friends, I want to tell you this. God wants a conversation with you. And you might think that is just unfeasible. How could God, the Holy One, who created the universe, want a conversation with me, little me, in my hopelessness and weakness? No. Jesus said, if anyone's seen me, he's seen the Father. God wants a conversation with you, a personal conversation. And there's this woman at the well. She begins to question why he's asking her for a drink. And then Jesus says a little bit more to her, and she listens. He says, you know, if you knew who it was who's asking you for a drink, you would actually ask him. Wasn't that a beautiful invitation? That was like, I've got an open check here for you to sign. I've got an open check to sign for you. If only you ask me. What? If you knew who it was who was standing here with you, you would ask him. He would have given you living water. Like life-giving water to nourish her, to refresh her, to release her. And, you know, she said, where are you going to get this water from? She's looking at the ground again, like the sheep, remember? She had her eyes on the ground, on the well, not on heaven, not that beautiful sunset. She's looking down. Jesus wanted her to look up. There are resources from heaven. You're struggling with your finances? I heard some lovely testimonies while I was away about God answering prayer in relation to people who are struggling with their finances. And I told the story of Edna Coghill, who died in church, well, in that building there, after telling us that God supplied her financial need. People said, she died in church? Yeah, she died right in front of us after sharing this. It was like a massive statement from heaven. Now I'll take my servant home. God has resources. He's longing to give, like Jesus with the woman at the well. And she doesn't know where he's going to get these resources from. And then in the end, she says to him, well, give me this water. Now, you see, she's been listening to Jesus. She's been sitting there listening to him, or standing there. And what does he now do? Now he's going to get to know her. Actually, she's going to get to know him. He says to her, go call your husband. He already knows she doesn't have a husband. But he's wanting her to be honest as to who she really is. To face up to the reality that she is a sheep that has jumped off the cliff. I don't have a husband. He says to her, I know. You've had five husbands. And the one that you're with now is not your husband. What? He knows everything about me. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. Do you know that Jesus knows you? Have you been absolutely honest with him? Have you got down and yes, has he made you lie down? Stay down there, right, sheep? Lie down and listen to me. The shepherd of heaven is wanting you to lie down. Now, you may be anxious about your life, about your future. If I asked people to put up their hands this morning, anxious about their future, I would say there'd be a lot of people putting their hands up. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you. But you see, God, the shepherd, has a plan for you. It's a magnificent plan, a plan that you yourself never even conceived. And the problem with us is that we've got our own plans. And we won't lie down. While I was away, there were a few times Kerry and I had to remind each other to lie down and get rid of our agendas. Oh, I've got an agenda for today. I'm going to do this, 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 and this, and here we go. But God has other agendas. We were driving down the road from Alice Springs to Coober Pedy. Now, we did three trips of over 800K a day. And we're driving from Alice Springs to Coober Pedy. And we get just over the border from Northern Territory into South Australia. And there's a Ford Falcon on the side of the road with its emergency lights flashing. And we're going at 110K, you know, zooming along there. And there's this thing going. And the Lord says, stop. No, but wait a minute, our time. There's no time to stop. Someone in need, right there. So we stopped the car, we got out, and there's two Indians. Young Indians with a young Australian girl, and their radiator has packed up out there in the outback. So we thought, oh, what are we going to do? They've been putting water in their radiator, you know, hopping along about 30k an hour in 36, 37 degrees temperature to try and get a little bit further, closer to the next town, which is 60 kilometres this way, Kalgeera in Northern Territory, and they've come through Mala, which is 120 kilometres to the south. So the nearest place is 60 or 120 kilometres away. We had quite a bit of water, so we thought, oh, well, we'll give them the water we've got. We had some vegetables and fruit, which, you know, you're not allowed to bring into South Australia because the Northern Territory. So we thought, oh, we can give them those. They can eat the food. We gave them the food. You know, they said, oh, thank you so much. And we prayed with them. At the end, we prayed, Lord Jesus. They said, do you believe in God? Oh, yes, we believe in God, all gods. Ah, but we said, we believe in Jesus. We're gonna pray to Jesus for you. So we prayed for Jesus and we got back in the car thinking, oh, that's good. Now we'll keep going to Mala. And we're driving down the road and Kerry says to me, are you at peace? This is about 2 or 3 kilometres down the road. We're getting up to 110k again. And I thought, no, I'm not at peace. And she wasn't at peace. You see, we got up again. We were on. We're off. The sheep. But Jesus had other things for us to do. He said, turn around. You haven't finished the job yet. So we turned around and we went back to them. And they'd found their way into a little emergency stop area or a wayside stop. It had an emergency telephone in it. I forgot to tell you before that Kerry had actually driven the young Australian girl to the emergency telephone there in the outback. By the way, friends, you know, emergency phones are in the outback. Well, this woman used the phone twice. She rang twice. It went all the way to South Australia to the police station and nobody answered. Just imagine if someone was in desperate need, nobody answered. 2 times she called. But somebody was answering. Somebody else was answering. Somebody else was looking after them. A shepherd who cares for people was actually looking after them. We got back there and they found their way into the wayside stop and we said to them, look, we're feeling trouble. We feel like we can't just leave you here. So we drove all the way to Kalgeera. And we said, we'll drive to Kalgeera. We'll see if they can help you in Kalgeera and maybe they can get someone to tow you or someone can pick. So, oh, no, you don't have to do that. Oh, no, we feel this is what God wants us to do. So we headed off to Kalgeera. We're going off to Kalgeera and the time's slipping by and Kerry's and I'm feeling, oh, we're doing the right thing. Get to Kalgeera. Go into the roadhouse. Oh, that was an interesting experience. The roadhouse. There's the roadhouse owner there. He's looking down at his books and I walked in there and said, oh, look, there's a couple of young Indians and a young Australian on the road about 60k south of here and they're broken down. Anyone can help them?
Yeah. What do you want me to do? You want me to leave this place and go down there?
No, I wasn't thinking that, but what out there? It's pretty rough going.
Oh, no, they'll have to look after themselves. There's plenty of people on the road who can help them.
I thought, what? Okay.
Well, if you want to ring, you go to the police station. The police station down there, I've been to the police station, nobody there. Oh, well, yeah, there's a phone on the wall. You give them a call. So I went down to the police station, rang the number. You know where it got me connected to? Darwin.
There I was on the border with South Australia talking to the police in Darwin and telling them, look, there's a couple of broken down here and can you do anything? No, we the police don't really respond to those kinds of needs and you know, if they got water and they got, you know, what they need, yeah, we give them water. Oh, they need to find someone who can tow them or we don't really, anyway.
Whew. Okay, well, we went and got some water for them. But they have plenty of water out there. It's pretty expensive water in Kalgeera. And by the way, folks, you want to get your water before you get to Kalgeera. It's like liquid gold. Got them some water. We took it back to them 60K south. And they were absolutely overwhelmed.
And we had to tell them, look, we're sorry, because it was Jesus who said, turn back. You haven't finished your job. We were going to leave them. But Jesus said, don't leave them. He's the shepherd. And we shared the gospel with them. We gave them tracts. We prayed with them. We put them in touch because they're going to Darwin. Ha, the Indians in Darwin. Alex, hey, some more Indians steeped in Hinduism. But praise the Lord, God's already touching their hearts. And you know what? They were rescued. We left them there with water. They were going to stay overnight. Got our email addresses. I got to Cooper Pedy. I got an email in Cooper Pedy before I left in the morning. They got to Alice Springs. Someone had helped them. A mechanic who'd also drawn into that wayside stop had done a repair on their radiator, on their hoses, and they got all the way to Alice Springs, and they were just so thankful to God. Because he's a shepherd, you see, and he wants us to lie down and get rid of our agendas, friends. Right every single day of our lives, God wants us to lie down and listen to him and do what he says. And he could change your plans. Like this morning, I came in with Joey and he said, oh, I'm not quite sure about the music today. I said, well, God's got plans. Didn't he have plans when we started this morning? His own plans. And they are beautiful plans because my sheep hear my voice. My sheep listen to me. My sheep lie down and listen to me. And I know them. You know, where does Jesus make us lie down? Lockie, could we have I love my pictures of sheep in England, not far from Roxton actually, because I think I just love looking at sheep lying down in green pastures. So I took a couple of photos of sheep lying down in green pastures, and I just think they speak without any words. How are we going, Lockie? There's a couple of sheep lying down, and the next one? Yeah. He makes me lie down in green pastures. When you look at those pastures in England and you compare them with the outback of Australia, whew, he does make you lie down in green pastures over there. Lie down in green pastures. I thought, what are the green pastures? You know, you could live in a great big house. God can provide all sorts of wonderful things for you, resources, and yet you can be terribly restless. Why are you restless? Because of sin. It's sin that makes us restless. It's sin that keeps speaking to us, you haven't done enough, you mucked up, you need to do more. It's sin that keeps on condemning, accusing. It's sin in our lives that needs to be removed. And the first thing Jesus wants to do in our lives is get us to lie down, like the woman at the well, and acknowledge our need of forgiveness and cleansing, to own up to who we are as we really are. You know, we blew it yesterday or the day before or wherever. We really blew it. And I'm a sheep. Well, you need to lie down and you need to come to Jesus, because this morning he declares to you, I died for you on a cross to make you clean. Will you not lie down? All that restlessness in your life is the result of sin. And I want to take it away. I want to cleanse you. I want to purify you. I want to wash you clean. My blood is able to make you clean. And that's the green pasture. Because you see, once you're clean and you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, you know, we sang at the start of the day, are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Is your heart spotless? Is it white as snow? Are you enjoying the richness of fellowship with your shepherd? Have you taken to him your anxieties? Have you confessed your anxieties, your unbelief? Are you lying down, being absolutely honest with your shepherd and declaring to him the state of your heart? If you do that, you will surely receive his richest of blessings, which is forgiveness for your sins, a purifying of your heart with his own blood. And you will lie down in green pastures. You will be able to feed on the things of heaven. That's the pasture God wants to give you. You see, those sheep have got they're
looking down. Just like most of us. No, we're looking down. Well, look at the problems. Look at the newspapers. What are they saying about the world? Oh, look at this. Look at that. Look what's going on here. But God wants us to lie down and confess our sins and anxiety and fear and unbelief and look up. Receive resources from heaven.
There are green pastures to feed on. You know, I came on Friday. I was struggling. I came back here as your pastor. I was feeling many issues and problems and struggles and battles and all sorts of things. And I went to the youth meeting on Friday. And I thought, I'll just go in the youth meeting and I'll, you know, see what they're doing here. And they started, had some games, which was great fun. They were playing, what's it called? Mafia, that's right. Lots of fun. And then they sang some songs. And as David was leading the singing, he felt like he was rushing. And so he stopped and he confessed to all the young people, everybody there, look, I'm sorry. I feel God has convicted me. I've been rushing through the praise. We can't enter his presence rushing. I'm sorry. And he prayed. Well, the Holy Spirit just came down. And then Sarah was released to share from her heart things that God has been working in her life. And I was just in tears in the corner. It wasn't so much just Sarah and David, it was God. Because he was allowed to come there and be there and release his presence there because there was a dealing with sin. And wasn't that interesting? The sin that David was dealing with was rushing. Are you rushing? I think we're all rushing. I think the whole world is rushing. Sadly, I think the world is rushing like the sheep jumped off the cliff. And Jesus is crying out, stop rushing. Lie down. Listen to me. Come to me. Acknowledge who you are. I died to forgive you and cleanse you and make you new. And I want to give you heavenly pasture, heavenly food. Well, I received it on Friday. Thank you, Sarah, and others who were there. Thank you, all the youth leaders, because I have to tell you, youth leaders, that atmosphere that was going on there on Friday can't happen unless you are dealing with your hearts. So keep dealing with your hearts, because those young people under your care are receiving ministry from God, and that's better than from you. God was there. My sheep, listen to my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. You see, after we've laid down, after we've been washed and cleansed and freed, we can hear him say, this is the way, walk in it. This is what I want you to do. You know, are you listening to other voices? Family. Family is a strong voice in the world. Even each other. Opinions. We don't want opinions. We want to know the truth from God. If we know what God wants, we'll be one together. We won't have our own agendas. That's what God does want. He wants us to follow him. Well, the wonderful thing is that sheep, like all of us, have been provided with a shepherd, the most wonderful shepherd, who invites us to his table this morning. Remember me, he says. I died for you. I died to cancel your debt, to remove your sin. I died so you could sing as you sang this morning, it is well with my soul. I died to make you clean and fit for heaven. So whenever you are taken there, and we sang always at the start of our service today, and I couldn't sing that song because in India with Alex, we could have been in heaven in that serious car accident there. And if we were, we'd be free. But God still has work for us to do here. That's why we're still here. And he wants you to hear. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the busyness and the rush of this world, we thank you for the Sabbath day, a day to rest, a day to lay aside all of the pressures and influences that come to bear upon us. We thank you that we can gather here as Christians in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for sending your Son to be our shepherd, to be the good shepherd. Lord Jesus, help each of us to lie down. Help us, Lord, to lie down and wait and listen like Mary did when Martha was so anxious and troubled about so many things. And Jesus said to her, Mary has chosen the best portion. Lord, help us to be like Mary, to lie at the feet of Jesus and say, like Samuel, Lord, speak to your servant. Your servant is listening. We ask this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.